The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. All right, let's answer your question and give you some good news.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
I think you're totally spot on with that.
I sound inept just to help you out.
It's been a rough week, thanks to your advice.
Are you a regular listener to this program?
As much as I can be.
There's your problem.
I would not ever disagree with you because you're so smart. You have a lot of answers to a lot of things.
You don't want to listen to me on the radio.
So what do?
I can't give you any direction.
Thank you for empowering me. I needed that.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, do you know somebody who does?
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
I'm finally getting it. I don't know how to do this text stuff. I guess there's certain grammatical things you do with texting, and you shorten up the words, right? If you're going to, well, that was before talk to text, but by the way, always, always check your talk to text before you send it out. You get burned real bad on that. But my kids, when they text me asking for money, instead of saying please, they just text PLZ, I guess because it's shorter. So, I'm learning. I am learning. I text back N-O, which is shorter than Y-E-S. I'm getting it. Okay. Speaking of getting it, I would love to talk to you. The number to get on to the program, 877-573-7825. That is not an easy number to remember. I think that was back in the days when they were getting free at 877. Well, nobody needs free numbers anymore, I guess, unless you call from a home line. But even at that, most home lines now, you can call anywhere for same amount. So 877-57-EQUAL. That's a lot easier to remember. And there are multiple reasons why you might consider calling in. Most common reason is I got a situation I want to kind of throw by in, see if we can put our heads together and just discuss a few options. No therapy, no diagnosis, but education is possible. Sometimes people call in to say, I had that situation in my life, those circumstances, and let me tell you how it ended up, or let me tell you what I did, or, Dr. Ray, let me tell you why you're wrong. You do that, you're first in line. You jump the turnstiles. Sometimes people call in and just want to offer a thought about life. They'll say, this is what I observed. This is what I've learned. Those are good things. I've been wrestling with what my next book is going to be, and I think I finally got the idea, and I'm going to be on the lookout for some of the stuff you people say that I can take and expand upon. So the number, 877-57-EQUAL. A couple of things. One, good Lord permitting, tomorrow heading to Indianapolis. Going to be talking to a big pro-life banquet. That's kind of neat. I don't know if they're still open for reservations or not, but if you'd like to, just go to my website, drray.com. The contact number for Mark is listed there. And then on Saturday, good Lord permitting, Waterbury, Connecticut, the men's conference. So I guess it's all guys. Typically, the guys need two women to pretty much take care of everything for the whole conference. When the women have a women's conference, they need 27 guys for us to kind of manage it all what two women can do. But again, you go to my website, you'll see Ken's number there, and you can, I'm sure that that's open still. Okay, they're saying several hundred guys right now, but I don't think there's any limit. Okay, that said, a little bit of an inside baseball. Yesterday, the phones were kind of quiet. So I said at the last segment, if you call now, you'll get right in. We immediately filled up the lines. Immediately. And it got me thinking, why would that be? And the only explanation I had, and I could be wrong, but hope not, is that people say, well, if I knew I was going to get in right away quick, I'd call. But if I'm not going to get in right away quick, if one, two, three calls before me and I have to sit on the phone, and you don't have to sit on the phone anymore, not if you got a cell phone, you just carry it around with you, right? Put it on speaker and walk around because you're still listening to the program. I would imagine that thins out the calls. That's the only way I could explain that. If you call now, you'll be first up. Now, Andrew Krucek, my producer man, pointed out to me that I was a liar. I didn't intentionally lie. I thought just one person would call. I didn't know we'd fill up the lines. So, of course, when I said, if you call right now, you'll get right on, that's not true. It wasn't true. So I can't say that anymore. So let me put you this way. If you call right now, you'll get on eventually. I don't know if that has the same impact. Okay, couple of things. I started out in engineering in school, and I was hoping to go for a PhD in engineering, but I realized engineering was just tough. And I looked at what you had to get as an engineering degree, and this is what you had to do for the PhD. The disassembled parts of a high-powered rifle have been placed on your desk. You will find an instruction manual printed in Swahili. In 10 minutes, a hungry Bengal tiger will be admitted to the room. Take whatever action you feel is appropriate. Be prepared to justify your decision. I thought, okay, whoa. Nope. So I thought, well, maybe I'll major in psychology. I'll get a PhD in psychology. Well, here was the PhD requirement. Based upon your knowledge of their works, evaluate the emotional stability, degree of adjustment, and repressed frustrations of each of the following: Alexander of Aphrodisias, Ramses II, Gregory of Nyssa, Hammurabi, Freud, Hitler, and Idi Amin. Support your evaluation with quotations from each man's work, making appropriate references. It is not necessary to translate. So then I said, well, I want to be a public speaker. I like doing that. So here was the degree in public speaking. Some 2,500 riot-crazed Aborigines are storming the classroom. Calm them. You may use any ancient language except Latin or Greek. Your performance will be videotaped. I did minor in philosophy. I only minored. I didn't go any further because here was their PhD. Sketch the development of human thought and estimate its significance. Compare it with the development of any other kind of thought. I'm surprised I made it through school. Okay, a lot of folks waiting, and I want to get to you to make up for my misrepresentation yesterday. 877-57 equal is the number, and I promise you, those of you waiting patiently, I will get to you. Now, that said, I want to invite you again. I was talking to Dave Vacheres today. He is very, very capable, conscientious, expert manager of the Annunciation Radio, which is affiliated with Ave Maria. We're coming, good Lord permitting, on October 28th and 29th to Russell Video in Ann Arbor. We will be taping four shows of Living Right with Dr. Ray. The last time we were live in Ann Arbor was 9 years ago. Yeah, I just gotten out of college. That said, we'd love to have you in the audience. Now, one hiccup. Russell Video says they can accommodate about 55 people each show. So that puts us at a limited. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to probably take up to about 70 because typically there is a certain percentage of no-shows. Believe it or not, you know who you are. So if you would like to be part of the live audience for Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show for EWTN, go to AveMariaRadio.net, and then they said there's a slider. I don't know what a slider is. Eric, what's a slider? I thought that was something you buy at Arby's. I'd like a turkey slider, please, no cheese. And you can sign up. 1, 2, 3, 4 shows. But we got to have you sign up because we got to know what's going on and whether we limited it and say, okay, that show's no longer available. And on Wednesday night, the second show, the shows are 5:30, 7:15. The second show is Father Joe Krupp. Father Joe is one funny dude. He's one thoughtful dude. He's a dear friend. Many of you who went on the Good News Marriage Cruise, you know who Father Joe is. He'll be there on Wednesday. All right? So that's the news. I'll get to your calls. I'm taking one of my many, many mandated breaks.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Life can be overwhelming, leaving you feeling anxious, alone, or even in despair. That's why the nonprofit Revive app was created, to help you navigate the darkness and discover the light. With Revive, confidential conversations with a certified spiritual companion are always just a tap away. And right now, your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3. Let them help you find joy in tomorrow.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
You are listening to a least worst of The Doctor Is In. We have no best of. I just told by Andrew Krucek, my producer man, that a slider is a kind of repeating different announcements. And he says every couple seconds you get a new announcement. Wait a minute. They only have me as part of a whole bunch of announcements? I don't feel so special now. I remember Erin's email. I don't remember how far back she sent it because I had a glitch in my email, my contact page. And there were just so many email that came through that I sorted through them yesterday, and I saw Aaron's email. And I wanted to say to dear Aaron, you know, Aaron, I admire the position you're in, but I'm not so sure a whole lot of other moms would agree with the emotions coursing through you right now. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
So you're not doing your happy dance?
Well, sort of I am, but then a part of me is going to miss the sweet, innocent, squishy, you know, toddlers and babies who are easy to love.
Well, you got that right. They are. They think you're yeah, just a goddess.
Well, I know, because now I'm getting into the teen years of where they just kind of grunt at me and don't really look at me, and I'm like, what is that?
Ew.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know what to do with all the time I'm going to have starting next year, assuming we don't have another kid. But, I mean, you know, never say never when you have this many. I don't know if I don't want to work full time because I still have to be the one to do doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, summer, holidays, all that. And you can only clean a house for so long till you get kind of sick of it. So how do I go through this transition to figure out what I do want to do with all of my time?
Well, you could do what my wife and I did. When our last kid left home, We got into a parent protection program where they altered our identities and relocated us in Montana. We did that.
That actually sounds really good right now.
Then we got an unlisted address. We did get that. Changed the locks. Got all kinds of window darkening shades. All right. No, I'll be serious for you. You got six kids. You got the youngest is, I take it, five?
She's four. She's in a Mother's Day Out program right now, but she'll go to kindergarten next year.
Kindergarten next year. All right. Well, a couple of things. One, I think your speculation of what am I going to do with myself is a bit premature, because I think every single person I've ever talked to who has retired and said, I can't believe I'm busier now than I was before. They say that all the time. So that's routine. So I think you're going to find a whole lot of ways to fill up your time. That's one. Just speculation there. Two, and I'm not even getting into the emotions here. I'm just talking into the practicalities. You could go part-time somewhere. You could do that. You could volunteer. You could set up a Bible study at your house for some of your moms that you know. You could do that. You could volunteer at the schools. You could do that. What else? I think what'll happen is you will adjust to this. My wife homeschooled 10 of them, and at one point she was doing all 10 for 3 or 4 years because there was only 12 years between them. And she was just insanely busy. I mean, I watched. I did. I thought, I clapped. I said, you're doing a fine job, honey. Try to get the courses in before you mow the lawn. So she adjusted rather quickly as the transitions occurred. So I would think that's the practical side. Now, there's an emotional side here, right?
Yeah.
Well, you could be thinking, my identity, my meaning, my purpose. Now what? Are you thinking that?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a tougher one than the logistics side. What if you decided to look at it as, the Lord asked me to do this, I've done it. Now, my next move as a mom is to keep involved in these kids' lives as they get older, as they navigate through the school years, as some of them even head off to college. I'm going to find out that my role as a mother, in some respects, is out of the cocoon and into their lives. It's just changed is all it is.
Right.
We got all the kids, and they're all adults now. And my wife comments on how much she's asked to be involved at various levels in all the kids' lives, whether it's a crisis, whether it's taking somebody to the doctor, whether it's looking after a child, whatever it is, she's amazed in many respects that the requirements for her time are as much as when the kids were all at home in a little cocoon.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping for as they age.
Oh, it's going to happen. You don't have to hope for it, Aaron. It's going to happen.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
It is. All you do is you look at this as you're now moving into a different phase. Lord asked you to do that first phase. You shaped them up at home while they were all with you and had given you hugs and kisses because they were little and sweet. And then you're moving into these 7th, 8th, 9th graders who are going to come home and your daughter's going to tell you about this one girl at school who did this, and there's three other girls that agree with her. And you're going to deal with that drama. And your son's going to come home and he's going to be disappointed because he didn't get a chance to start and he thought he was good enough and the kids ahead of him is not that good, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll have your fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, you just described like two exact things that are happening to us right now. It's like you have a whole bunch of kids or something, Dr. Ray.
I told you. It is, my dear. And you will be shocked at how you will fill up that time. Truly will. It'll just shift.
Thank you.
You are more than welcome. And look into that parent protection program. You might want to use that at some point down the road.
Yeah, we will do that. I just got to kick the last one out the door.
Yeah, that's always the trouble. That's why they linger. They linger. They kind of like our asteroids that just sort of float around and then crash. Thank you, dear. I'll talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, let's go to Rose, Station of the Cross there in New York. It's a great, great group. She was kind of similar to Aaron there. She was homeschooling the kids, but they moved. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Dr. A.
You know, that is really neat.
I'm
name.
Definitely. Oh, thank you.
It is. I mean, my grandmother's it. Name was Rose, and Rose is making a comeback mm-hmm. because my granddaughter's name is Rose. So you know, it's like a skip the generation, yes. and now it's popular again.
It is a beautiful name. Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you. Yeah, I guess I'm struggling a lot because my oldest is in fourth grade. So I have a fourth grader, a second grader, kindergartner, and I have a two-year-old at home still. And I've really loved homeschooling them. But this year we moved to a new house, and we've only been in our new house for 3 weeks. It was like the week before school started, and I panicked, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not ready. I can't homeschool them this year. So I really fast enrolled them in school, and I regretted it pretty much like after I got at least 2 days to breathe. I was like, oh man, what? But now I feel like I can't go back because everyone in my life has never supported me homeschooling, but they went along with it. And now that I like panicked and put them in school, now everyone is kind of taking advantage of that. And they're like, oh, but you're doing the best thing now. You're doing the best thing for them. And I'm like, well, it wasn't not the best thing for them before. And my kindergartner is doing great, of course, because she's five and she's in kindergarten and loves it. But my fourth grader and my second grader are crying every day. They hate going. They're having problems with the kids. They want to be home. And I'm really having a hard time because I'm like, I don't want them to go either, but I'm trying to get them to stick it out. Because I'm
Why?
Trying to be like,
well, Rose,
well,
why?
They have to do hard things, right?
You no. haven't, wait a minute. You haven't given me yet a decent reason why you wouldn't start to re-homeschool your kids. The only thing you said is you got a bunch of people in your family who go, oh, thank heavens, Rose. Oh, I was worried about the kids.
Yeah, they're pressuring me, and I don't know why I can't. Now. I know. I don't know why I can't. Like, why do I care so much? It's mostly my parents who are huge supporters of me, and I have had them. They're pretty involved in my life. Like, we can walk to their house. We live so close. And they've always been involved and helpful, and my husband works a lot, so they've been kind of there for me, and they just are really, like, they're really pushing back really hard, and I'm like, why do I care so much? I'm, like, an adult.
I got a question, Rose.
Please, don't get it.
Please don't take this wrong. What business is it of theirs?
I know. I don't know, Dr. A. That's what everyone keeps telling me. But I'm like, why do I care so much what they think?
Man.
In my mind, I feel like I'm going to make a wrong decision in the back of my mind. But I know that it's not the wrong decision, that they've been fine homeschooled up to this point. So I know it's not the wrong decision.
You know, when you started talking...
But I don't know why I can't trust it.
We'll get this after the other side of the break. When you started talking, I put you down as a look-back call because
okay.
I knew what the issue was, and I didn't figure we'd have a whole lot of time to get into it, and then you said it. You said...
What did I say?
Well, you said, I don't want to do the wrong thing. And I did a monologue, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was about you can't have certainty in a decision you make.
I know.
You make the decision, you go in my best judgment, this is the move to make, and I don't know how it's going to work out. I think it's going to work out okay, but if it doesn't, that doesn't mean I made the wrong decision. Stay there, Rose. Don't go away. This is Dr. A, 877-57-EQUAL is the number. And we still have enough time for if you call in, you've got a pretty good chance of getting on. Of course, maybe if you call in, you don't want to get on because you've listened to me and you said, nah, I don't think so.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mother Angelica said that the essence of evangelization is to tell everyone that Jesus loves you. Matt Frad says that it is one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Are we so full of the things of the world that we can't hear or receive the gifts that God is giving to us? In Isaiah, we hear, "The Lord delights in you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you." Well, we often don't want to hear that, and in the Gospel of Matthew, it hits us over the head even more that we're invited to be part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is king, and he's come to establish his kingdom. The Beatitudes are the eight roads to God. They lead us with his gifts of the Holy Spirit to become the new person in Christ who will find happiness and bring that happiness to others. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Who is the source of all priesthood? Jesus Christ, the Catholic Catechism tells us. The priest of the old law was a figure of Christ, and the priest of the new law acts in the person of Christ. In the Mass, it is Christ himself who is present to his church as head of his body, shepherd of his flock, high priest of the redemptive sacrifice, and teacher of truth, says the Catechism. By virtue of the sacrament of holy orders, the priest acts in persona Christi. Christ is made visible in the community of believers through the ordained ministry. The bishop, in the words of Ignatius of Antioch, is like the living image of God the Father. This does not guarantee, however, that bishops are preserved from all human weakness, even sin. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. You are listening to a least worst of the doctor is in. We have no best of, but this is truly one of our least worst. A Rose by Any Other Name. I think that's Shakespeare, but if it's not, somebody's going to let me know I was wrong, as I get these literary references wrong periodically. And part of the reason for that is I sometimes use words that I don't know the meaning of, so I can sound more photosynthesis. Talking to Rose. Now, here's the summary. Rose, a young mom, got a couple kids of school age, got a couple little ones. Rose was homeschooling, and she loved it. And the kids loved it. Although she was getting some backlash from family members, particularly her parents. They moved right before the school year started, and Rose panicked. Rose just said, no, I'm not ready to homeschool. Okay, go back to public school. Go on. Now, I got a couple of thoughts here, Rose. First of all, as a homeschooling mother, you know you didn't have to panic. You could have just delayed their education for a week or two. Before you got settled,
so
for heaven's sake. Well, that's okay.
I know, Dr. Ray. I was so mad at myself for doing that. I'm like, I could have just waited a couple of weeks till the books came in.
That's
like,
exactly
right. Like,
why
am I even caring that
All
much?
All right. There you go. That's part of the theme here, Rose. You're overthinking stuff. Okay, that's one.
I am.
Two, you made a decision and you said, What did I do? Why would I do that? Okay, change the decision. You could do that. We did that with my daughter. We sent her on to high school, and she didn't do well. We brought her home halfway through the year, brought her back home. Okay, make the decision. That's what parenting is. You make decisions, and you go, that one's not working out too well. Let me change it. Okay, cool. Three, your parents are going to come around, and the reason they're going to come around is because they're going to see how sweet your kids are and how precious they are and how innocent they are. And if your parents are paying attention to the general culture, they're going to be protective of those little ones. And they're going to say, you know what? I didn't agree with what Rose was doing, but now I see the wisdom in it. Your kids.
So I think that's my worst thing because it's like
I can see the difference. You know, I've done both now, right? Like, I've done co-op and I've done school 5 days a week. And I just, I can see the difference in my children. I see the difference in those children, which I don't, like, I don't blame anyone for choosing school for their children, but my children are different. They just, like, they're not weighed down with the world. They're not exhausted. They were just happy to go. And they just, I don't know, they didn't have to stand in line and, you know, be told to be quiet and sit still. And I don't know, like, just basic things that people are like, oh, well, they have to do in life. I'm like, yeah.
It's yeah, not when like they're
I
eight.
It when I was
not
a kid.
When they're eight.
Well, I know. I'm like, I figured it out when I was an adult. I didn't need to learn it when I was a kid. Doesn't mean that they won't be well-adjusted adults.
Rose, I do not know why you're not trusting your own instincts.
I don't know. I'm really frustrated with myself. And my husband, he's like, do whatever you're comfortable with. That's what he said.
Change
and I'm
it.
Like, oh.
You're allowed.
I know
what you don't want to do. You don't want to explain to your parents why you changed your mind.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna say, you know, that you had to give it some time. You know, they got to learn how to get along with all kinds of kids. They're going to throw all the standard objections at you. And then, you know, that's okay, Rose. Okay. They'll do fine. They're going to be fine. No, Mom. I really love homeschooling, and that's best for our family. End of story. So I hope at some point here, Rose, you decide to do what you want to do, which is interesting. You know, isn't that interesting that the way I said that? I hope you decide to do what you want to do. No, I'm going to do something I don't want to do.
Yeah, send them to school, which is not, at least my boys. I don't think my boys should stay. I think I'd always planned to have my kindergartner stay this year just to get my boys, you know, by myself to teach them this year, and then I was going to reevaluate the kindergartner next year. And that's what I should have done originally.
So do it now.
And I switched it.
So do it now.
I could. Yes, I want to.
You don't need my permission.
Well, I know.
It's your family. It's your kids.
Yes.
All right, Rose. Good luck. Right. Hey, call me back and let me
Thank
know what you.
You
did. All right, hon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank
Bye.
You.
Okay. Ann from Florence, Kentucky. Hey, Ann, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to talk to you. And I know that you're going to be able to help me. I am very confident.
You got to get out more. You just got to get out more.
Maybe I do. So I am dealing with an adult daughter who I want your opinion on whether or not this is something that is very common amongst that generation or if I've just done something horrible in raising her. But my daughter is 32. She's college educated. She's got a decent job. She lives in an apartment by herself. So in my wisdom, I want to teach her good financial planning. And we had a conversation recently about even saving up some money. What do you think about, like, buying a house? Well, she's single. She's like, that's way too much. I get that. And I'm like, well, what about, like, a condo? She goes, oh, I don't even want to have to call the plumber. I fell over. I was like, what? I taught you. And then here I am, like, that's not the way I raised my daughter. I taught her the hard work ethic. You roll up your sleeves and you get in there and you do what you need to do and you work hard to, you know, make a life for yourself and stuff. I was blown away. So I told one of my girlfriends, of course, and she had a similar experience with her daughter who is around the same age. And so I was wondering if you're seeing that around that, like, young 30 age. They're like, yeah, no, that's just too much effort. I just don't really want to do that. And if it's something I can help her work through, how do you teach an adult, she's 32, how to get a good work ethic? To be like, no, like, this is important for you to, you know, get out there and build your confidence. What do you think, Dr. Ray?
Well, your premise is wrong, Ann.
Oh, no.
Your premise is...
Be smart about it.
Your premise is, I didn't raise her that way. I
exactly.
raised her a certain way, and therefore she should exhibit the way that I raised her. That's a wrong premise.
Absolutely.
It's a wrong premise. You have no guarantees. You raised her a certain way, and depending upon her temperament and depending upon the culture she lives in and depending upon how easily she had life, she just didn't want to do it. Okay? That's one.
Right.
Have I? No, I don't want to sound. Jeez, I'm starting to sound like my grandpa. Before I sound like my grandpa, Ann, stay right there. Mm-hmm. Because okay. I got to take a break here in 20 seconds, and I don't want to start with any kind of wisdom and get shut off. So I'm going to save my okay. wisdom till around the corner on the break. This is Dr. A. Thank you for joining me. 877-57-EQUAL is the number. It's delightful, these women calling me. They love me for my mind. Oh, man. Just like college, when Tiffany used to call me, I'd get all excited, and she'd say, can you write my paper for me while I go out with Biff?
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing our pilgrimage to charming Ireland and its rich Catholic heritage. The shrines are nestled in the quaint Emerald Isle. Lovely people, marvelous food, sweeping vistas. Everyone's favorite is Mass at Our Lady of Knock and its Eucharistic apparition. We hope you can join us in August, along with our Irish chaplain, Father James Conlon.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
You are listening to the least worst of The Doctor Is In with Dr. A. Grandy. So please, no calls at this time.
All right, here's what happened. We lost Ann from Florence, Kentucky, and it was our fault. Sorry, Ann, I hope you're still listening. If you're still there, you call back, we'll put you right back up. The gist of her question was this. Her adult daughter in her 30s was pondering buying a home, but she said, "Oh, I don't know. There's like stuff you got to do. Like, you got to call a plumber. I don't know if I'm going to do that." And Ann was shocked and said, "What the heck is going on here? I didn't raise her this way." So my first point was, yeah, I know you didn't, but that doesn't mean she was going to, as an adult, exhibit the kinds of things you try to teach her. Ask any parent out there. It depends on a whole lot of other variables than your parenting also. Now, that said, if you're asking me to make a generational generalization, yes, I hear people that are business owners. I hear parents who say, I'm shocked at the younger people who do not want to do the things that are necessary to be adults. I'm hearing that heavily. I think that's true. I don't think that's just these kids nowadays that every generation has said. I think there is truth to that, and I think it is a function of one of the factors is that we live in a very comfortable, very materialistic environment. and also entertaining. So therefore, anything that interferes with our entertainment, our comfort, our material pursuits is a bit more of a challenge. I asked a guy who does cars, and he will detail cars. I said, who's the worst? Which cars do you get in here that are in the most cluttered up, needing severe tender care? We're not talking mechanical. We're talking just the actual vehicle itself. He said, the 20-somethings. He said, they don't just even take care of it. They don't even wipe it out. Now, I think that's a microcosmic example of, yes, in fact, if it takes a little more effort than I wish to do, I don't do it. I don't make the calls I'm supposed to make. Sometimes I don't pay the bills I'm supposed to pay. Yeah. Now, and if you're still listening, which you didn't call back, so I don't know why that is, I would not push on her. She's not going to want to hear it. And besides that, you'll be just doing this because you're basically motivated by saying, I didn't raise you like this and I'm going to fix it. No, at this point, say, Ogie, okay, well, you're 30-some years old. You graduated college. You at least had a work ethic for that. And she works. So here you go. We could talk a lot more about that, but I'm going to go to Stephanie from Houston, Texas. Dean Martin song, great song. Going back to Houston. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
By the way, is your husband, do you have children at home?
No.
Okay, so he's older.
Yes.
Alrighty. So you tell me what's going on.
Well, I just wanted some coping advice on how to deal with the food choices, which are not what they should be for the diabetes. And not, you know, it's just a constant getting upset over stuff like that. And I just, do you have a book you recommend? Some, you know,
my diabetes book?
Yeah.
My dad had type 2 diabetes when he was in his 60s. And I used to watch my mom. Nick, you know you can't eat that. Now, come on, Nick.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No, it does not work at all. Okay. I think my dad's attitude might parallel your husband's, which was, hey, I'm ticked off that I got diabetes, and I'm not going to let it interfere with some of the things I want to do, which is to eat tasty food. How old is he, Stephanie?
72.
All right. So his attitude is what? As he has argued with you about watching his diet, what is his rationale?
Well, I'll eat what I want, and you can't tell me what to do.
Okay. And that's it. It's that distilled down. It's not a matter of I'm 72 years old, and I want to eat these foods because they taste good, and I don't want to have my diet all that limited. And no, it just comes down to don't boss me around.
Okay, well, I guess maybe. But I think he doesn't see that, you know, I take it personally or that I'm concerned, or he just sees it maybe just differently. You know, it's like I'm trying to control him when I'm really just concerned, you know.
Well, he may also see it as the fact that you're bossing him around and you are taking it, lad. Doesn't he care enough about me? I want him to be around. I don't want him to die prematurely. I don't want him to have complications of diabetes like losing a limb or going blind. I don't want that. I'm sure his doctor has told him the potential complications of diabetes, right?
Well, I assume so. I mean, they've had conversations about, all right, we need to lower this A1C and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's not interested.
My dad did not like a CPAP, and he was in heart failure, and he was told, Nick, you need to wear the CPAP. It'll prolong your heart's strength. He didn't do it. He didn't like it.
Mm.
So at that point, my mom would get frustrated. My mom would try to direct him towards healthier moves. My dad was a good man, but he passed away when he was 76, and he just did not want to do these very uncomfortable things. So he didn't. I think your best move to get your husband to monitor a little bit is to not say anything anymore. To more or less
that's
say...
that's what I need help with. I have no problem saying nothing, but internally, I'm upset. It upsets me. And I just go... It's like I feel like I go around angry with him because of it, you know.
Well,
saying nothing.
Even though you're... Okay, but wait a minute. Even though you're saying nothing, you're still telling yourself things. You're saying he doesn't care that I'm concerned about him. He doesn't care that he wants to live longer with me. He doesn't care that our marriage could go better if he did this. That's what you're saying. You're saying he doesn't care.
Change the narrative to what?
Change the narrative to it may not have anything to do with he doesn't care. He just is determined to eat the way he wants. And he may be thinking, I'm 72 years old. How much more time do I have? I'm going to enjoy the food I want. Now, that may be short-sighted, okay? And he may not be looking at this from a perspective of he could severely limit his health. But if you can push out of your mind the idea that he just is doing this no matter what I would like and no matter how important our marriage is and no matter how important I am, if you get that out of your mind and you simply say, I don't know what's driving him, but I think it's probably because he just doesn't want to be limited by his diabetes. And it has nothing to do with me. That's the thought you got to replace this personalization that you're doing with.
Okay.
So what you do, honey, is you just, okay, you tell yourself, here's what you do. Here, I got an idea. So you go to your husband and you say, I'll tell you what, I've been wrong. I've been nagging at you. You're a grown man. You make your own decisions. I just want you to know that I love you and I want you to be around as long as possible for me. But I'm not going to tell you anymore what to do. And I'll bet you, Stephanie, if you do that, you might find that he'll be a little more careful. There could be a stubborn component involved with this. And what you did is you took away the stubborn component.
I'll try it. Thank you.
All right, hon. Good luck. One more thing. Andrew put up, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. I was right. It was from William Shakespeare's play Romeo and Juliet. Apparently, Juliet seems to argue that it does not matter that Romeo is from her family's rival house of Montague. The reference is to state that the names of things do not affect what they really are. There it is. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Yeah, you could call a rose stinkweed, right? Because that's what we used to call those weeds that grow in the field, stinkweed. Still smells the same. All right. Tough parallel. Be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria radio program brought to you in part by the following.
Triumph of the Heart is a film telling the story of St. Maximilian Kolbe's passion.
He knows the rules. I will choose 10 of you to starve until the missing prisoner is found or until death.
I can take this place.
Triumph of the Heart can be streamed at kolbemovie.com. That's kolbemovie.com.
Advent is here, and Ave Maria Radio wants to walk beside you every day as we move towards the birth of Jesus. When you visit AveMariaRadio.net, you can join our Advent mission and receive short, powerful, and engaging daily videos that help you enter the mystery of the Incarnation with new clarity and devotion. Go to the slider at AveMariaRadio.net, sign up, and take your place in this joyful journey to the manger.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
You're listening to The Least Worst Of The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. So please, no calls at this time.
Well, Mary is calling for one of the reasons that we cited at the top of the program, which is not a particular situation, but an insight or an experience or piggybacking upon a previous call, because we had a young mom call in and she said, I panicked and I sent the kids off to public school because I thought I wasn't ready to homeschool, even though we loved homeschooling, the kids loved homeschooling, and now I'm stuck and I'm trapped. And Mary says she's gonna help her out. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Okay, what was your situation?
Well, it was kind of like the young lady. Her name was Rose, correct?
Yes.
And the difference was I didn't want to homeschool, but I really felt inside that I should, but I come up with all kinds of excuses not to, and my husband wasn't really into homeschooling. He was more into sports, and I thought, I didn't check into it. I didn't know that I could homeschool and the kids could be in sports or music. And so I put them in school. I had four children, and the youngest one really struggled, and that's one that I live with regrets now that I did not homeschool her. I have forgiven myself, but still I see what she would have benefited from if I would have homeschooled her, because she struggled pretty much all through school. I kept telling myself, oh, well, it's better that I leave her in, because then she'll work through this and she'll be able to deal with people a little bit better, or whatever excuse I came up with. And the main thing I want to say to Rose is that it is harder to live with regrets than to live with the words of your relatives and friends. And also to do what she feels like God wants her to do, not what she wants to do, but what does God want her to do? And in the end, she has to answer to God, not to her parents.
Mary, why did you find justifications?
Because I never liked school. I never liked doing homework. The computers, my youngest daughter is now 37, 38 years old, and the computers were still just coming out, and I didn't want to get into any of that. I didn't want to learn that. I didn't want to correct homework. She was my youngest. I wanted to just be done and go on with my life, kind of thing. Not that I abandoned my children. I only worked one day a week outside the home after they did go to school, but I just didn't want to do the work. I didn't want to do the homework. I didn't want to teach her I didn't like school when I was going to school. Why should I do it then? Which was very selfish.
Well, you said you had regrets, which would imply that there's certain outcomes with your daughter that you thought might not have happened had you homeschooled.
She is just has kind of, I don't know what the word is. She doesn't keep in touch with us very often. We have to check in with her, and she struggles emotionally with different things now, with just being in a group of people, with being around people. She is very artistic, and she's very musically inclined. I could have really expounded on that, and I think she would have flourished in those areas. Where she was in school, it was just hard for her to be around people that didn't have those.
In my last few seconds here, Mary, I just want to tell you, you don't know that if you would have homeschooled, none of these things would have happened. You can look back on it and say, well, I wish I would have. So you learn a lesson from learning from experience is what you learned. But you can't guarantee that this stuff wouldn't have happened. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.